Welcome to Voices of Blessed Sacrament. Each week we break open God's Word and share stories of faith and family, all to help one another recognize and experience the presence of God.
The Third Sunday of Lent.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman, but still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." I paid good money for a tattoo on my wrist, but everyone thinks I have a spelling mistake on it. It's a quote from one of my favorite theologians, Julian of Norwich, that says, "All shall be well." Now, everyone always thinks it's spelled wrong simply because it's written in Old English. Even the tattoo artist asked me, "What is with all the E's?" But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There actually is a mistake on my wrist. But it wasn't an accident. It was definitely intentional. Because the way that "well" is spelled on my wrist does not mean good, fine, fantastic, like Julian's quote originally intends. Instead, the Old English spelling I chose translates to a physical well, like a literal water well, like the exact well where Jesus meets the Samaritan woman in this weekend's gospel. This is my absolute favorite Bible story because there is just something about meeting Jesus in the mundane, trivial, exhausting things of life and feeling seen and completely known that speaks to me. Now, I know we just listened to the story and I know it's a long one, but bear with me because I want to break this story down just a little bit more. It's noon. It's the Middle East. I'm sure it's incredibly hot. Jesus is tired. And at the well, he meets a Samaritan woman. Question: why is she going to the well at the absolute hottest part of the day? Follow-up question: why doesn't she go in the cool of the morning with the other women and make it a social event? Doesn't that make just a little bit more sense? Yet, here she is, alone, in the sweltering heat. I always wonder if she felt insecure about her standing in the village. We learn through their exchange that she has had 5 husbands. Now, no judgment here, but maybe she felt judgment from some of her neighbors. Maybe she felt deeply misunderstood because no one actually knew what was going on behind the closed doors in her life. So, put yourself in her shoes for just a moment. You're trying to avoid people. You want to avoid the stares, the gossip, the whispers. So you trudge out to the well, carrying your heavy water jug at the hottest part of the day. You finally get there, and there's a guy sitting there. Fantastic. He's Jewish. You're a Samaritan. Historically, you mix like oil and water. Great. Then he looks at you and says, "Give me a drink." Listen, it's hot, you're sweaty, and this guy, who is probably more than capable of getting his own water, thank you very much, ask you to draw the water for him. I love the conversation that follows. This unnamed woman is not afraid to push back just a little bit and question this random Jewish man. She's bold. I like it. But through their exchange, something shifts. She realizes that Jesus knows her. He doesn't just know about her. She gets this profound feeling that he actually deeply knows her heart. And she discovers that he is more than just a guy at a well. He's more than just a prophet. He is the Messiah, He is the I am. Now, obviously, this is a far cry from just some guy at a well. And all of this happens through a conversation in the heat of the day over a necessary, totally mundane chore. She discovers who Jesus is. She encounters the living, breathing, human God, the very same God who, as we hear at the beginning of John's Gospel, spoke the universe and all it contains into existence. If that doesn't just like blow your mind and fill you with the deepest hope, I don't know what will. Because we have the same opportunity. And think about her transformation here. She started the story actively avoiding people. But by the end of it, she runs back into town and tells everyone about the man, the Messiah, who knows her, who gives her hope, and who wants to offer her living water and eternal life. She found her all shall be well at that physical well. Her exuberance, her faith, it must have been contagious because many people came to believe her, but not just her. They ultimately came to believe in Jesus. So I'll ask you, can you think of an encounter with Jesus in your own life that left you feeling fully known and made you want to share it with others? I can think of a couple, but the one that's relevant to this story is when I was reading Julian of Norwich and discovering who God is through her eyes and then having conversations with friends afterwards. Yeah, it was quite the encounter. And look, we all go through times of belonging and loneliness. We all have periods of doubt and certainty, seasons of joy and deep sorrow. But what Julian of Norwich and the woman at the well have taught me is that God is there through it all. God knows me. God knows my experiences. And God knows you and everything you've been through. So my hope for you is that you recognize Jesus in your own life. No matter what's happening in this season, this year, or the next, or even the next life, Jesus knows it all. He is sitting at the well with you. So, here is my challenge for you this week. You don't need to go out and pay good money for a permanent spelling mistake tattooed on your wrist like I did. But I do want you to leave a permanent mark on someone else this week. First, look for your own well moments. Where is Jesus trying to meet you in the messy, exhausting parts of your life? And second, look around you. Who in your life is trudging to their own well right now, feeling like a mistake, feeling isolated or judged? Reach out to them. Sit with them. Show them that they are not alone. Show them that they are seen and loved. Let's be beacons of hope this week, reminding each other that no matter how messy life gets, all shall be well. Let's go into this week ready to recognize and experience the presence of God and to help others do the same.